My message this morning is entitled, Be the Peace. And seemingly, since the dawning of humanity, peace has eluded humanity. And yet we still long for it to be realized. We still long for peace on earth. You can see it in songs that say things like, let there be peace on earth, let it begin with me. Or the words of Robert Fulghum, the author of All I Really Needed to Know and Learned in Kindergarten, who says, peace is not something that you wish for, it's something that you make, something that you do, something that you are, and something you give away. Dr. King once said that peace is not merely a distant goal of which we seek, but the means by which we arrive at that goal. And I have to say, I very much agree. Clearly, we still long for peace as a people. Leaders, poets, artists, musicians, all have addressed our almost inborn desire for peace. Even the likes of Jimi Hendrix said, when the power of love overcomes the love of power, then we will know peace. One of my favorite reflections, keeping on our musical theme today, though, on peace, came from John Lennon, who simply said, give peace a chance. See, I am an unabashed, unapologetic, unrelenting peacenik. I have this crazy, insane, altruistic, pie-in-the-sky, loving belief that the world would simply be a better place if when we look into the eyes of another, there somewhere behind the differences that we could see a reflection of the divine. Whether you believe that divine presence was breathed into each of us at creation or believe that what we call the divine presence in each of us is related to the reality that we're all made of star stuff, I believe strongly that peace begins with recognizing the value of each life. I believe that in seeing the reflection of the divine in others, in seeing the value of every life, we would choose to make peace with them over war. We would choose to pursue peace rather than strife. We would choose to nurture peace rather than division, to practice peace rather than hate. In brief, if we would choose to do so, we would choose to simply be the peace. Will the world ever fully realize its potential for real peace? Well, maybe, or maybe not. At the very least, not yet. In the Christian tradition, we are in the in-between time, as Kelly was telling us about, the waiting time. The waiting is actually a very important part, as he said, of Advent. Much like people thousands of years ago waited for the coming of a Messiah, the Prince of Peace, Advent is a time when we're reminded that we are waiting for the day for peace to be fully realized. Which leaves me with this sort of impossibly simple yet impossibly difficult question. How do we help bring the peace? How can we be the peace? Well, peaceful protests like the one for the Dakota Access Pipeline and others which demand equality and justice for all are some of the many signs of how we do that. It takes people recognizing the humanity in each other. People recognizing the divine in each other. People recognizing the brotherhood and sisterhood of humanity and then responding with love. People being willing to be the peace. People being willing to stand up again and again and again for equality for all people. People being willing to recognize that until there is peace and equality for all, there is peace and equality for no one. The thing I actually don't really like about Advent is actually all of this confounded waiting. It's supposed to be hopeful, but it just has this tendency to feel so overwhelmingly restrictive and passive and dormant. For me, that points to the question of how do we wait? How should we be found waiting for peace? How should we wait? Well, there are, of course, many, many answers to that question, which come out of many, many religious traditions. Not surprisingly for me, as a Presbyterian minister, one of my favorite answers comes from our Christian scripture. It actually comes from the book of 2 Peter. Well, the question is asked, what sorts of people ought you be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting and hastening the coming of God? And the answer that follows is simple. While you are waiting, strive to be found at peace. We are to be found at peace. And peace is not a lackadaisical pursuit. It requires action. At the very least, it requires us to speak out on behalf of peace again and again and again. It's an active waiting for peace. It's done in our streets and in our cities, on the campuses of colleges and social media, in our communities and city halls, and in the halls of Congress. It's done by actively listening to those who are not being treated fairly, who are not being treated justly, and then adding our voices to their voices who are crying out for justice. It's done in the face of systems that wish to perpetuate the dominance of one group over another group. It's done despite the militarization of those who are entrusted to keep the peace. Most importantly, it is done. We cannot, we must not keep silent. We must be the peace. Dr. King once said, at times, a time comes when silence is betrayal. Some of us who have already begun to break the silence of night have found that the call to speak is often a vocation of agony, but we must speak. We must speak out with all the humility that is appropriate to our limited vision. But we must speak. We must become a people who, in all that we say and do, are about peace. That's what we are to do during this time of waiting. We are to actively be about being peacemakers. Again, and again, and again. Until there is peace, until there is true equality. Will those days come? I don't know. But I do know this. We are, while we are waiting for them, we must be found to be actively pursuing them, because peace is not merely a distant goal that we seek, but the means by which we arrive at that goal. Dr. King also once famously proclaimed, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. It may bend towards justice, but I am convinced it does not bend gently. It only bends towards justice behind sweat of the brow, creativity of the mind, and love from the soul of those who believe that every living soul not only desires justice and equality, but has a right to it. As I said, justice is not passive pursuit. The moral arc will not bend without encouragement. Peace is not a thing you create for a destination you can ever fully reach. Peace is a way of being. Peace is a way of being. It's the journey, not the destination. Buddhist teacher Thich Nhat Hanh encourages us to see that it is in understanding, it is in knowledge, that we can be liberated towards the great truth that everything depends on our understanding of the whole situation. The more fully we have understanding, the less likely we are to be distracted from acting in love and compassion, acting in peace. So the more we learn, the more we know, the less there is to fear. The less there is to fear, the less anxious we tend to be. And the less anxious we are, the easier it is for our personal paths to be more about peace and less about fear. I started this message saying that peace has eluded us since the dawning of humanity. Not surprisingly then, as a species, we've thought, we've written, communicated a lot about peace. As a matter of fact, most great spiritual thinkers have taught about it. The interesting thing is, how many different ways the greatest thinkers of our times have given us for pursuing peace. I suppose that's both a good and a bad thing. The good news is that the pursuit of peace has many paths upon which to walk. There are multiple and varied ways to practice peace. The more difficult news is that no one, other than yourself, can tell you which paths are best for you. That only comes with study, gaining knowledge, reflection, some form of personal meditation, and then the actual practice of peace. We are the best versions of ourselves when we are practicing peace rather than practicing fear or practicing worry or possibly worse than either, practicing indifference. Indeed, we always feel so much better about our lives when we are at peace with ourselves and our family and each other. When we are found at peace, or at least found being peaceful, we tend to make better decisions, create a better environment in the world around us, perform most of our tasks at a higher level, and even find life in general to be more satisfying. So friends, my grown-up Christmas wish for you and for me, and by extension to all the communities in which we reside, from our families to our neighborhoods to our workplaces to this, our very church, my grown-up Christmas wish for all of us is that we might begin the difficult work of practicing peace more fully. May we set aside our petty differences and see each person we meet as an opportunity to practice being peaceful. And in doing so, make the world a little more peaceful of a place. So it's now your opportunity to make any comments or questions or your own thoughts on our topic of today, peace.
Yes, good morning. Good
morning.
I was thinking about what what you said, and I couldn't help but notice that you mentioned only men, quotations or even songs about men. And I'm always thinking about the gender inequality. I mean, this is something I think about every day. But I would like to mention also that women have had a very important role in peace. In fact, Jane Addams, who was an American, the first social worker, and who provided a lot of services for immigrants in the United States, she's the one that said call women to be peacemakers, you know, because we are the ones taking care of the families and in fact looking the goodwill for the communities. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking on the role of women, you know, in peacemaking. And I think that we as a society should learn about the attitude of women. That in my personal experience, I've seen that women are the first ones to fight against any type of confrontation, to try to avoid and respond in a very peaceful, in a very diplomatic way, trying to avoid fights, wars, confrontation, retaliation, in a very silent way. But that doesn't mean that they are ignorant or weak, I think that that's a meaning of strength and being wise. Mm-hmm. So I would think that women have a lot of things to teach to the whole world, and not because we don't respond in a very, you know, in a way that we make ourselves notice. That doesn't have to be undermined. I think that we have a lot of things to teach to the world, and it's not only the role of women to make peace, but also the role of everybody. And we should be more like have that feminine, you know, instinct, and that other than the male instinct of fighting a war, or there's a lot of things we can do to fight wars, and it's not always going to war. Women have fought a long, you know, for a long time, different types of wars, and it's not in the nature of women to go to war. I think it's the opposite, is to be in peace. And so that was my thought, that I would like to include women to complement what you said, that we are peacemakers. Mm-hmm. And that's my thought. Thank you. Right.
Thank you for sharing that. In the very back here. Thank you for sharing that.
Mark, thanks for your sermon. If Z Holler could have been here today, he'd say, amen.
Are there others? Up front here.
Hello. I think what was running through my mind the whole time you were speaking is sometimes when I think of the word peace, the initial thing that comes to mind is avoiding conflict, you know, because you don't want to, you know, peace does not mean war, that type of thing. But what's really important to me, you know, from your sermon is that peace also is not to sit back, you know, quietly and to not, you know, stand up for justice. And so that's just sort of interesting. You know, sometimes I have not spoken up and you know, claimed that that was me being peaceful. But when in reality I wasn't being peaceful because I was allowing myself or someone else to be victimized. And so I don't know, that was just a lot of food for thought for me today, that sometimes being peaceful isn't necessarily comfortable, you know, or it takes courage, you know, whereas, like, some people might think that peace is just all, you know, like hippie, like, oh, you know, I'm just going to sit back and go with flow, whatever, you know, but it's not necessarily like that. It's peace is, being peaceful is having the courage to stand up.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. Right behind you, actually.
Hi. Yeah, thanks, everybody. The song, When I Find Myself in Times of Trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Just speaking to your feminine way of knowing, and the Beatles, because of their spiritual guidance and spiritual practice of stillness, we're surely just channeling the divine in each of those songs. And practicing peace through silence so we can hear the words of wisdom, so we can do the right action, is essential, I think, in moving forward as humanity. And I'll just tell you that here at our church on Tuesdays, we started that every Tuesday at noon meditation. We practice peace together for 20 minutes, and it's been a very powerful practice. So please come, or please invite anyone in the community. It's free. We all take turns guiding, so shared wisdom. It's very beautiful. Thank you very much.
We'll let this be the last one as we try to stick to a schedule here.
Good morning. I'm Morgan. I would just want to say that as I was listening to Mark and reflecting on the message, one of the things that came to me was, this recognition that as long as I've been a member of churches, I have not been, I have not really participated, in robust trainings in nonviolent resistance. And I think that, I was presented with the ideal of peacemaking and things like that. And I would hear these stories, and I remember hearing about Rosa Parks. I mean, everyone's heard about her sitting on the bus, but oftentimes it wasn't until I was an adult that I heard the preparation that went into her being able to sit on that bus, So, I think that that's an important piece is, there's the ideal and there's also the instruction and preparation that goes into being able to withstand, the tensions and the resistance and all that kind of stuff. And so I think that's especially among, progressive churches, like I think that should be a part of the education and of the members is how does this actually work? how did Jesus actually come to do some of the things that he did or other people that we consider spiritual leaders or mentors? Oftentimes it was years of preparation, but it sometimes gets watered down and oversimplified in the retelling of those accomplishments.
Thank you all. And Kelly, we'll turn it back over to you.